The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
For children, all the children of the world, red and yellow,
black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading, a reading from the book of Acts. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. And when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrate had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill them, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. He was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Let us pray Psalm 97 responsively. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad.
Clouds of the dark earth surround the Lord. Righteousness and justice have the foundation of God's throne.
Fire goes before the Lord, burning up enemies on every side.
Like lightnings light up the world, the earth sees and trembles.
The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth.
The heavens declare the righteousness of the Lord, and all peoples see your glory.
Confounded be all who worship carved images and delight in false gods. Bow down before the Lord, all you gods.
Zion hears and is glad.
For you are the Lord, most high over all the earth. You are exalted for above, far above all gods.
You who love the Lord and hate evil, God guards the lives of the saints and rescues them from the hand of the wicked.
Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the honest of heart.
Rejoice.
Second reading is a reading from Revelation. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you for this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendants of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus prayed, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. How many doors have you already gone through today? Count them. Your bedroom door, the kitchen door, the house door, the garage door, oh, the car door, the garage door, the bathroom door. And if you're like I am, you get into the car, you get out of the car, go back in and get your keys, come back out. So, you backtrack a little bit, so count those. We go through a lot of doors, don't we? The scripture reading today reminds us about these doors. Our lives are filled with doors, coming in and going out, opening and closing doors. And that theme of opening doors is in this reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, St. Luke writes about opening prison doors. Our society is more comfortable with talking about building more prison doors than we are about opening prison doors. We're more comfortable talking about building walls rather than taking down walls. We have a tendency to live behind walls, to live behind closed doors. Maybe it's a sense of security that we're looking for, that we close the door behind us. Maybe even hindering others from opportunities that have been opened for us. This story about Paul and his traveling companion Silas is a story about opening doors, about freeing those who are bound. And there are many in this story who are locked up. Many who need to taste freedom, who need to find that open door. First of all, there is that young girl who is in bondage in more ways than one. She's owned by some men who are making money off of her ability to channel that evil spirit that has her bound. Another way of being bound, the evil spirit, the men who are making money off of that spirit. The exorcism that frees her from this evil spirit is kind of quirky. It's not promoted or prompted by a sense of compassion or care for this poor young girl who is held captive both by the evil spirit and by the men who are making money off of her captivity. This exorcism is prompted by annoyance. Paul is tired of being heckled by this girl who follows him around town, announcing his coming and his going into places, recognizing the spirit within him. She knows who he is, who his God is, what salvation is about that this God can offer. Paul's thinking about getting to that place of prayer, doesn't want to be distracted by this slave girl who's been following him around for days. So he just turns around and heals her just to keep her quiet, just to shut her up. Get out of my face. This act of opening the door, of freeing this girl from the prison, ends up getting Paul and Silas tossed into prison. Now they're behind locked doors, closed doors. And what do they do? How do they react to this bondage? How do Paul and Silas, now behind closed doors, the stone, cold prison walls, the chains, they were beaten, the bruised limbs, the dashed plans. They're not going to be able to go to a place of prayer and preach. So what do? When these doors are now closed to them, they have choir practice. They start singing. Their voices bounce off the walls of the prison, are heard throughout the whole prison by the other prisoners, flowing out into the streets, the songs of joy. And they sing, Paul and Silas sing, because they know those stories, those songs of faith by heart. This is their story. They sing of God's love, those love songs, those psalms, the songs of God's love, that love that can reach into any place, even places of bondage, even to prisoners chained to the walls of the jail. They sing the songs of Jesus, this Jesus who opened prison wall doors, who set captives free, who came into our closed lives in order that we might have freedom and not be bound. When Paul and Silas were singing these songs of God's love and of Jesus' story, suddenly, without any warning, there's an earthquake, a great earthquake that shakes the foundation of that jail, so much so that the doors pop open, the shackles that are around their feet and around their ankles are popped open, and they're free. Now, my first inclination would be to get the heck out of there, would be as soon as possible to take off from that jail. But that was not the first inclination of Paul and Silas. They thought rather of somebody else, rather than thinking of themselves, their own individual concerns. They had compassion for somebody else who was bound. For Paul knew that even though the door was open to him, if a door was closed to someone else, he was also not really free. Now it's the jailer who is bound. He's bound by Roman law. The law said that the jailer is responsible for those he is watching. And if they escape, he has to take their place, not only in jail, but before the executioner as well. When the jailer thinks that Paul and Silas and the others have escaped, it's not only his job that he's worried about, but it's his life. And thinking that there is nothing that he can do, he might as well die. He draws his sword to kill himself, maybe out of sense of duty or self-respect. Seeing no other way, what's he to do? And then he hears Paul holler out to him, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here. We are all here." By himself, the jailer knew if he were the only one left in that jail, he was to die. But together, there was that possibility of life. We are all here. Those words offered a hope, a possibility of life. The night before his death, Jesus prayed for himself and for his disciples, for us. He prayed that we all might know the truth of unity, that we all might know that story, that truth, that united in Jesus, we are all here, words of life, words of promise of life. Jesus prayed that all might be one, that we would know this unity with one another, with Jesus, with our gracious and good God who created us just for this sense of unity, just for knowing that we are all one. The truth is, humans don't create community or make unity. It's the other way around. We are made for unity. We are created by the unity that we have. We are shaped by it, formed by our belonging to the family of God, belonging to this community, this body of Christ. Yesterday afternoon, I went to the Native American Festival in Balboa Park, and that was part of my wedding planning responsibilities. My niece was here from South Dakota, and she's getting married in October, and her fiance is part Native American, and she wants to have in the ceremony some cultural element. So we went to find, to be in the culture a little bit and to experience some of the music and the art. Even though Mike is Lakota, and there weren't too many, I didn't see any Lakota Indians, but there is such a similarity among the many, many tribes in the Native American nation. There are so many similarities on philosophy and religion and in art. So even though we didn't see any Sioux or Lakota, we did have this sense of being in this Native American culture. One of the interesting things that I was thinking of yesterday in relation to the sermon is that sense of identity and belonging to a culture that is so strong in that Native American culture. When you're Native American, you belong, you are related to many people. It's not the sense of identity doesn't come from who I am, but from who I am related to. When you ask a person, who are you? Where are you from? Where do you live? The answer is not where I happen to hang my hat personally, but where my ancestors are from, where my family is, where my great-great-grandmother is buried. That's where I'm from. That's where my family is. It's who we're related to. That's where we get our connection. In the Native American language, in fact, there is no a word for I or my. There isn't any my tent, my shirt doesn't exist. It's ours. We share. It's community. The word of greeting in Lakota, like aloha in Hawaiian, that means many things, but it's that kind of universal greeting that's used. The phrase in Lakota is matakiai owasin. Matakuai owasin. And it means we are all related. And this is what someone would say to you as a greeting. Matakuai owasin. We are all related. We are all one family. You and I are brothers and sisters. And this is the greeting that is given not only to family members or to people within the tribe. This is the greeting that is given to politicians and to dignitaries that would come to visit, to anyone who would come to your home. Matakuai owasin. You are my brother. You are my sister. We are related. This is your family. We see a similar thing, mikasa es sukasa, that my house is your house. And whose house is this? This is the family home. We are all related. Matakuai owasin. That's the prayer that Jesus prayed on the night before he died. We are all related. Father, that they may be one, as you and I are one. Father, Son, that we might all be one family. And we are all one. Jesus' prayer through the Holy Spirit is a graced reality for the family of God. The good news is that the fulfillment of this prayer, that we are all one, is not up to us. God is doing this work. God is creating us to be one family through the Holy Spirit. It's through that unity with the Holy Spirit that we have that unity with God and with one another. Within that sacred circle, there is no one left out. There are no doors closed. No one is excluded or outcast because God is doing this work of bringing us to be in this family. God is creating the unity. Now, we can't ignore the divisions. The divisions within our own families, the divisions within our church, the divisions in the world that are a reality because of our sin, because of our failings. We can trust that Jesus is fulfilling that prayer that all might be one. We are all brothers and sisters through our baptism by water and the Holy Spirit. Matakuai owasin, we are all related. And thanks be to God for this gift of unity that is a reality. Our sin causes the division, but God's grace causes the unity. Amen.